This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Whenever we study these types of sciences pertaining to Islam, we need to take into account the status of this type of knowledge as opposed to other types of knowledge, as opposed to worldly knowledge. And one of the things we have to remember when it comes to Islamic knowledge is the respect that it deserves. Because however much respect you give to Islamic knowledge, that's how much respect you're going to be given back. And it's not like, for example, worldly knowledge. You know, worldly knowledge, you can acquire worldly knowledge, you can attain worldly knowledge, you can study certain things and not necessarily respect it. And you'll still receive whatever you want from that worldly knowledge, even though you're not giving it its due respect, because it's a worldly knowledge. Whereas with Islam, brothers and sisters, when we don't give it the respect that it deserves, and we don't take it seriously, and we don't give it its status that it rightfully is supposed to have, then a person, when he studies and then he leaves the masjid, or when he goes through a certain book, or he reads the Quran even, for example, he won't feel that it's benefiting him, because the respect that is supposed to be given to the deen, to the knowledge itself, isn't being given. And so you'll find, for example, certain people who may spend their time studying, but in terms of the etiquettes and the manners and the respect that they may show, it's not being shown and it's not there. And in terms of implementing whatever it is that they learn, if it's not being implemented, then also that's part of one's barakah of his learning, meaning he's not going to benefit from that knowledge if he's not actually implementing it. And the reason why I say this, brothers and sisters, is because with regards to these types of gatherings, I think it's important, and also from the sunnah of gatherings of Islam, gatherings of knowledge, gatherings where the Quran is being mentioned, where the sunnah is being mentioned, is that anybody who wishes to listen comes close. Because when brothers come close, then it shows, first of all, respect to whatever is being mentioned. And also, it shows keenness, interest in whoever is listening, whoever is attending. So those of you brothers who want to attend, please come close, so that any benefit you want to acquire, any benefit you wish to acquire, inshallah, that will be given to you. Not because of myself, but because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing when it comes to these types of gatherings. Jazakumullah khair. So, we left off last week with the... See, this is better. This is nice. When everyone's together, not when everyone's all the way at the back. Can't see faces. I won't pick on anybody, don't worry. So, last week, we were talking about some of the ayat from Surah Al-Mutaffifin. And we never finished this surah. Hopefully today, inshallah, we'll finish this surah. We covered some of the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the records of the fujjar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ كِتَابُ الْفُجَّارِ لَفِي سِجِّينَ كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابُ الْفُجَّارِ لَفِي سِجِّينَ Rather, the records of the wicked is in sijjin. And we said the word sijjin comes from the same word which means prison. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the consequences, the state of the disbelievers when they disbelieve. And what's the consequences of the disbelief? They're going to have a difficult life, and also in the hereafter, they'll be in a place which is like a prison for them, which they'll never be able to escape. And we went through other ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the disbelievers, and he talks about how they would behave in the dunya. إذا تتلى عليه آياتنا قال أساطير الأولين. In the dunya, whenever they're told about the sunnah, whenever they're told about the Quran, about the punishments of the people of the past, about what happened when the prophets warned their people, when the messengers warn their people of, you know, a coming calamity or a punishment or a torment if they don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would, the people who don't listen to those types of statements, don't listen to that advice, don't listen to, you know, da'wah being given to them, they say asatirul awwaleen. This is like old news, this is old stories, stories of old, tales of the ancient, people, things that people made up just to scare people. And so you see, even today, people make the same insinuations, people make this, say the same thing. You know, atheists, for example, they say the same thing. These stories were made in the past, why? So people would do good things. Maybe the intention was good, people will start doing good things, but these stories aren't stories which are really true. We don't believe in Noah and the animals, and we don't believe in Musa alayhi salam and the sea splitting and all these kinds of stories. They're just tales that people make up. So as a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. No, rather their hearts will have a ran on them. كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Because of what they used to earn in the dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this thing on the hearts, he calls it ran. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasalam, as we mentioned last week, he specifically talked about this ran in a hadith. And he said that whenever the slave of Allah commits a sin, then a black spot is put on his heart. And this is the ran which is mentioned specifically in this ayah. If he asks Allah for forgiveness, Allah will forgive him and remove that black spot. But if he returns back to that sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace that spot, and the spot will get bigger as he continues to commit sins. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he continues, and this is where we left off. Ayah number 18, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, because he talked about the records of those who commit sins. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the record of those who do good. Allah azza wa jal says, كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, no, verily the record of al-abrar is in عِلِّيِّينَ. And abrar is the plural of birr, or the root word is birr. You know, when we say, or even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَعَرْضِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْ or when Allah talks about, for example, being obedient to one's parents, he uses the same word, birr. بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدِينِ إِحْسَانًا. Other ayat also, the word birr is used. So in ayat where Allah talks about parents, he talks about honoring the parents, being respectful to the parents. And the word birr refers to, in the hadith, for example, where the Messenger of Allah Sallam, he says, the second most beloved act to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is birrul walidain, being obedient to one's parents, showing obedience to one's parents. So the word birr refers to righteousness. The word birr refers to those who do good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, he's referring to the kitab of al-abrar, the book, the record. The book here is referring to the book which contains all the deeds, everything which a person did in the dunya. Kalla inna kitab al-abrari lafi illiyin. The book of those who are righteous believers, those who do good, those who are good people, their books are in al-'Illiyyin. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he talks about 'Illiyyin. He says, what is 'Illiyyin? Because before we said Sijjin, the records of those who disbelieve is in Sijjin. And we said Sijjin comes from the word which means prison. A Sijjin is a prison. So they're closed up, they're in a torment, something which they won't be able to escape. Al-'Illiyyin, or illiyin, in this ayah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, the scholars, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, for example, the famous mufassir, he says, illiyin is the opposite of sijjin, because Allah azza wa jal is talking about the opposite now. So before he was talking about those who commit sins, and they'll be in a place which is constricted. As for those, for example, who do good deeds, they're going to be in a place which is vast and spacious. And this also could be said, starting straight away, as soon as a person dies, the grave itself is made spacious for the believer. The famous hadith, where the soul is taken from the believer or from the individual, if he was a sinner, the grave is made tight for him, is constricted. Whereas for the believing slave, the grave is expanded for him. And it's as far as, it goes as far as the eye can see. and his resting in the grave, his time in the grave, this time period called al-barzakh, which is the time that a person spends in his grave, that will be easy for him. And that time period specifically is called barzakh. And the reason why it's called barzakh, the word barzakh means a barrier. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانَ. Between the two seas is a barrier. None of them go onto the other. Talking about the seas of the dunya, the sweet water and the salty water and the sweet water or the normal water, they don't mix up. Okay, and there's some places in some parts of the world where you can actually see the two seas meeting and they don't actually merge or mix together. It's like a barrier between them. The point being, this time in the grave is called barzakh. Why is it called barzakh? Because it's a barrier. It's a barrier from what to what? It's a barrier from a person going back to the dunya. You can't go back to the dunya now. So it's called a barzakh. It's a barrier. It's stopping you from going back. You know? That's why Allah says that the one who regrets his actions, he'll want to go back. رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. He'll say, oh my Lord, send me back. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتْ. Maybe I'll do, and I'm hoping that I'll do good deeds if you let me go. But of course, a person won't be able to come back. So it's called a barzakh because you can't return. Also, it's called a barzakh. Why? Because you can't hasten whatever it is that you want. If a person sees his place when he's in the grave of his resting place in paradise, then what will he say to the angels? He'll say, oh Allah, hasten the hour. I want to hasten the day of judgment because I want to go to my resting place. I want to go to paradise. So the angels will say, rest like the resting or sleep like the sleep of a newlywed, meaning sleep happy. And when you wake up, you'll get what you deserve. You'll be given your rewards of paradise. So the point being, the barzakh is called the barzakh because it's a barrier to go to the rewards of paradise or to for a sinner to come back to the dunya, to return back to the dunya in order for him to try and do more good deeds. Now the point being that the grave itself is made spacious for the believer. And in this sense, we can understand that illiyin is referring to the opposite of what the disbelievers, what the sinners are actually going through. Also, some of the scholars, they said sijin is the pits, because it's referring to hellfire. And so some of the scholars, they said it's the seventh earth. Because when the scholars talk about paradise and hellfire, they talk about paradise as levels, darajat. Meaning paradise goes up, doesn't go down. Because only those who are disgraced go down. Whereas hellfire, of course, goes down, doesn't go up. Because the higher a person is, the more status he has. The imam, when he's on the minbar, he has status because he's, you know, spreading knowledge, he's teaching the people, he's giving advice, mentioning Allah's name. And so he has a level higher than the other people because he's trying to teach them. So an individual, when he does good deeds, he's raised up by Allah. When someone commits sins, he is put down. He goes down as opposed to going up, he's thrown down. So the scholars, they say, hellfire is pits. That's where Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the munafiqun, the hypocrites, are fi darki al-asfali min an-nar, in the deepest pits of hellfire. Not darajat. It's not levels, but it's darakat, it's pits. So this is why Ibn Kathir, he says that the sijin is referring to the seventh earth, meaning the deepest part of hellfire. Now when we say earth, we're not referring to this earth specifically. It's referring to hellfire. It's referring to a type of earth. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment will create a piece of land where the people will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment. So it's still a piece of land, but is it this specific earth? No, it's a different type of earth. It's a different type of plane that will be on that day. So Allah Azza wa Jal, when he says illiyin, some scholars say that this is referring to the opposite of the seventh earth. It's referring to the seventh heaven. It's referring to the highest portions of paradise. And it's the area, Ibn Kathir says, according to Ibn Abbas, he said that it's the seventh heaven and it contains the souls of the believers. Also Ibn Kathir, he says that this word refers to, according to some of the scholars, it refers to Sidratul Muntaha. which is in the highest portions of paradise. And the word illiyin literally comes from the word ulu, which means high, high up. And so again, it gives a connotation, it gives the idea that the believers, those who do good deeds, the abrar, those who are righteous, the righteous believers, they'll be in the high stations, in the highest parts of paradise. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُونَ. What will make you know what عِلِّيُون is? And it's the same thing which Allah said with regards to the disbelievers. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّينَ. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ. A register which has been inscribed. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Those who are close will bear witness to this record that is being shown to them, that is being given to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat, He talks about the record which will be given to the believers, and He talks about them witnessing, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, which is witnessed by those who are brought near. And here Allah talks about those who are being brought near. Who are they being brought near to? What are they being brought near to? They're being brought near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself because of their reward. Those who do good deeds, they'll be closer to Allah. Not just in terms of one's iman in this dunya, but in the akhirah, they'll be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Closer to Allah's reward, closer to Allah's paradise, closer to Allah's blessings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. This is witnessed by those who are brought near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those who will be nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, when he talks about those who are going to bear witness and those who are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says they are the angels, because the angels are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the creation. And so Ibn Kathir, he says those who are the closest to Allah, the nearest to Allah, this is referring to the angels themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues and He says, كِتَابُ مَرْقُومٌ يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. So he talks about abrar again. Those who do righteous deeds, those who do good things, those who do good deeds. He says, verily the abrar, those who are righteous believers, they will be in pleasure, na'im. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word na'im, pleasure, to refer specifically to the rewards which the believers will get, which is paradise. And the word na'im refers to pleasure, contentment, happiness. And what's interesting is people have this word as their name. So you may know some people, their names are actually Na'im. And it's a description which is given to people. Just like, for example, somebody who is Kareem. When we say somebody's Kareem, what does that mean? What does Kareem mean? Kind. Kareem means someone who is kind. Now when we say somebody's kind, was he kind for like 5 minutes and then he was, you know, greedy for and not kind and cruel for the rest of his life? What do we mean when we say he's Kareem, he's kind, he's a kind man? It means he is part of his personality, it's the way he is, it's his character. That's how he is. It's in his nature for him to be a kind individual. Just like somebody who's a cruel person, okay, it's part of his nature. A person who's greedy. It's a bad characteristic to have. So likewise, when somebody is called Kareem, when somebody is called kind, it's part of his nature, it's his personality, he's known by people to be a kind individual. It's not just one day or 1 hour or 1 minute, it's just the way he is, it's his personality. And what's interesting is, these types of names, where they end in this way, Na'im, Kareem, even for example, Rahim. Some of the scholars, they say, when Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ar-Rahman refers, some scholars say, ar-Rahman refers to the one who's entirely merciful. Ar-Rahim refers to specifically merciful. Other scholars, they say, ar-Rahman means extremely merciful. Ar-Rahim means always merciful. Because it's the same pattern. Na'im, Rahim, Kareem. So what's interesting is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, when He talks about paradise, He calls this pleasure na'im, meaning what? That paradise is something which is forever. It's something which is consistent, constant. It's never ever going to finish. It's never going to change. It's never not going to be pleasurable. And that's the difference between the dunya and the akhirah. SubhanAllah, even people who are called specific names, they can't be na'im forever. They can't be happy forever. It's not natural. A person has days where he's happy, he has days when he's sad, moments in the day where he's happy, moments in the day when he's sad. So even people who are named with these names, they don't have that attribute in its entirety, in its perfection. Whereas paradise, which is perfect for those who do good deeds, those who enter it, paradise is na'im in the sense that a person will have constant pleasure. It's never going to be boring. It's never going to be tiresome. He's never going to be bored about what should I do today? Where am I going to go? Who am I going to see? What am I going to be doing? It's a place where a person will always be happy. They'll always be constant, and he'll never get tired of being happy, being, you know, smiling, laughing. You know, subhanAllah, sometimes in this dunya we want to enjoy ourselves, but our bodies won't let us. You know, sometimes you know you're out with your family or you're out with your friends. You want to enjoy the time, but you just can't come to enjoying it until you end up being, you know, the one who spoils the party, basically. You know, so sometimes in the nature of a person, he wants to enjoy himself, but subhanAllah, his body, his nafs just won't allow him to, even though he wants to, and the people around him are having a good time. But something in his heart doesn't allow him to enjoy himself, doesn't allow him to be happy. Whereas in the akhirah, in paradise, when a person enters into paradise, there's always that element of happiness. It's never going to go away. And this is, of course, from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those who do good deeds in the dunya. And what's interesting is, the scholars, they talk about this dunya being a vehicle, something that you use in order for you to enter into paradise. So when a person worships Allah, he in fact does attain internal peace, contentment, and happiness. So you know how people always want to find happiness and contentment in the dunya. They try to use different things and do different things so they can find this happiness. In fact, trying to find a portion of that internal happiness in one's heart is by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's what's going to give you permanent happiness in the akhirah. So this is an interesting thing, because people always want to find that form of happiness. You know, people always say, you know, they always want to have a world, live a life where there's no unhappiness, no sadness. They don't want a day to go by where they'll be sad or they'll be upset or something bad will happen to them or their loved ones. You know, and this is what they're thinking of, is actually, it's Jannah. That's paradise that you want on earth. You're not going to get that right now. If a person does the deeds that he's supposed to do, if a person has patience over the trials and tribulations he has in this dunya, then he'll get the eternal reward, which is complete na'im, complete pleasure in the akhirah, where a person will never feel that sadness, he'll never go through any types of difficulties because of the patience he had with the difficulties in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, innal abrari lafi na'im, that those who are righteous, they will be in delight, na'im, constant, continuous happiness. So those individuals, Ibn Kathir, he says, they'll be in eternal pleasure. Gardens that contain endless bounties, endless blessings, endless happiness, meaning a person will never be tired of paradise itself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Allah says that they will be on thrones, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. Araik is a plural of arika. Arika is like a sofa. So a person will be like on a sofa or on a throne, a huge magnificent throne, where on top of which, once he's on this throne, other narrations mention from the Sunnah and some of the Tabi'een, some of the companions themselves, they mentioned that these ara'ik, these thrones that a person will be on, they'll be raised up depending on a person's deeds. So if a person was righteous, then the throne, if a person did more good deeds, he was, you know, he was somebody who did more in this dunya than others, then the higher his throne will be. the higher his seat will be in paradise. And this is why Allah says, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They'll be on these thrones and they'll be overlooking. Overlooking paradise, overlooking Jannah, overlooking their gardens, overlooking their homes, overlooking everything that you're blessed with in Jannah. And you know, subhanAllah, whenever we travel somewhere, whenever we go on holiday, we always, when we book a room in a hotel, okay, what do we always like to have? A nice view. You know, we always like to see something nice. The worst thing is to open the window and there's construction outside. You know, you open the window and it's like a wall of another building right in front of you. You always want a nice view. You go to Mecca, for example, you want a view of the Haram. You want to see the Kaaba from where you are. That's like ideal. You go somewhere else in the mountains or by the beach or something like this, you want to be able to see the sea, you want to see the mountains. Because those are sought after rooms, and in fact they're more expensive. Because it does something. You know, a person admires the beauty, is able to sit there, he's able to stand on the balcony and just admire the view. There's a sense of, you know, happiness that a person achieves, and also a sense of honor, and maybe arrogance in this dunya for some, because they think, I'm able to achieve these heights where I can afford these types of things, and look where I am, look at those people who don't have masakin, they don't have, you know, this view that I have. You know, so it can end up being something which causes arrogance, but the point is, that is something which people want. It's something which people enjoy when they see these types of scenes. You know, even in Mecca, sometimes some hotels, they'll tell you it's a haram view. You can see the Kaaba. And so you get the room and you look out the window and you can see like a bit of a line of black cloth from the Kaaba. So you can see the Kaaba, but technically you can see the Kaaba, but you actually can't see the Kaaba. You can just see like the corner, one of the corners of the Kaaba, just about. Yeah, you can see people doing tawaf. But the point being, these types of rooms are actually very sought after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes this. And He knows what the believer wants. He knows what the slave, you know, loves and desires in the dunya. So He says, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ, that they'll be on their thrones. No need to stand up. The thrones themselves will rise. And then once they rise, the person will be overlooking whatever it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. He'll be able to see things, subhanAllah, of paradise that he's never ever been seen before. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ, that you'll recognize in their faces the brightness, or you'll recognize in their faces the radiance of pleasure. تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ, you'll notice in their faces نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ, lights or their faces will be radiant or glowing with pleasure. Na'im, the same word is used. تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. Ibn Kathir, he says, this means that you'll notice a glow of delight in their faces when you look at them. Ibn Kathir, he said, this is a description of happiness, composure that they'll be experiencing from this great delight. There'll be a happiness and light coming from their faces. And we know, for example, that on the Day of Judgment, those who did good deeds, that their, you know, their faces will be glowing. For example, the hadith where a person who performed wudu in this dunya, then those body parts will be glowing on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. So the delight and the happiness is emanating, is glowing, radiating from their faces because of their happiness, because of the deeds that they did, which gave them these rewards at the end of all those times of trials and difficulties in the dunya. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. He goes into more detail about what the believers will have in paradise. And He says they'll be given to drink pure wine which was sealed. يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. That they'll be poured, it will be poured for them. They'll be given. So we don't even have to pour the drinks of paradise. You know, you go to a nice restaurant and they'll pour the drinks for you. Out of, you know, it's like service. You don't want to have to do things yourself, you want someone to do it for you. So even in paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives us these bounties, when He gives us these pleasures, yusqawn. In Arabic, there's actually a word which means to pour for someone. Saqa, which Even, for example, in Mecca, in the olden days, they used to have siqaya, people who were delegated in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, before, even before Islam, because it was an honorable thing for the Arabs to you know, respect or be hospitable to their guests. They would have siqaya, meaning people who were responsible for giving water to the pilgrims who came for the Hajj, even before Islam. Siqaya. Saqa means to pour for someone, to pour something for someone, water, drinks, whatever it may be. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ, that these individuals, they will be given pure wine, مِنْ رَحِيقٍ. Rahiq is a type of wine, مَخْتُوم. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he talks about this ayah, and he says they will be given wine from paradise. And he said, Rahiq is one of the names of the of wine, one of the wines in paradise. So Rahiq, this word Rahiq, is actually one of the wines in paradise. And Makhtum means sealed, meaning nobody's ever had it before. The wine that you have, the wine that you will drink, each time you're poured it, it's something which is fresh, it's something which is sealed, something which hasn't been given to anybody else before. You're not getting sloppy seconds. You're not getting somebody else's stuff. You're not getting somebody else's drink. You're getting something which has never been had before. You're getting fresh, sealed wine which nobody's ever had before. You don't have the corks on the wine bottles these, you know, in this dunya. And the older it is, the more valuable it is. And if the cork comes off, it's not as fresh and all these types of things. And they even say the type of cork that you have makes a difference. Don't ask me how I know that. I read it somewhere. But apparently the type of cork that you have on the bottle makes a difference with regards to its freshness, because sometimes the freshness can come out, Allah knows best. The point is, subhanAllah, in paradise, the drink that a person will have, it will be makhtum. It's going to be sealed. Every time a person drinks wine in paradise, and again, the wine in paradise isn't the wine which causes a person to become drunk. A person doesn't feel sick. It's not strong, doesn't cause any side effects. It's just pleasure upon pleasure. Nothing like, you know, alcohol in this dunya, which causes, you know, all kinds of problems to those who drink it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. They'll be poured, they'll be given to drink wine, which is sealed wine. خِتَامُهُ مِسْك. And He says, He talks about the seal specifically. What kind of seal will it be? Allah says that the seal, خِتَامُهُ, its seal will be misk. Its seal will be perfume. Meaning, Ibn Kathir, he says that Ibn Abbas radiallahu an, he said, Ibn Abbas himself talked about this ayah, and he said, Allah will make the wine have a pleasant aroma for them. So the khitam, the seal that will be on the wine, will in fact be a musk. So the seal will be mixed with a type of musk to make it smell good. Khitamuhu misk, its seal will be of musk. A pleasant aroma will come from the drink. And the last thing he will place on the wine is going to be the musk. This is what it's referring to. Khitamuhu misk. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And Allah says, for this reason, or before this, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمِ عَيْنَ يُشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. He says, this is after khitamuhu misk, that this is the seal of the wine that is going to be made of musk. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافِسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Let this be something which the competitors will compete for. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. So for this reason, meaning for the bounties of paradise, this is what people should be competing for. People should be racing with one another to attain these types of bounties, these types of rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal is talking about, you know, things that people compete with one another for. And many times we tend to compete with one another, even when we don't realize it, we tend to compete with one another with regards to wealth, with regards to the type of car we have, the types of clothes we wear, you know, the type of house we live in. Even sometimes subconsciously, you know, it's not necessarily a case of a person becoming jealous or blatantly wanting to compete with someone, always looking at what he's doing. Sometimes it's subconscious, meaning at one level or another, we may be comparing ourselves with somebody else. You know, for example, we see our neighbor or we see somebody with a nice car. We don't, actually think that I want to be better than him. I want something like what he has. But instead, we look at what we have and we're not happy with whatever it is that we have. And so we want something similar to what he has. Even though maybe you don't feel jealous with regards to whatever it is that he has, but there's this element of not being happy. And this is basically what chasing the dunya is. When you're competing with other people in worldly things, it might not necessarily be, a blatant competition between you and your neighbor, or you and your workmate, you and your colleague, you and another student in your university, for example. Or you and, your close friend or a friend that you know, or somebody who lives, opposite you. The reason or the understanding when it comes to competing may just be you see something that you like and you want it for yourself because now all of a sudden you're not happy. And the same is the case with others when they see something you have. So they may want something that you have. They may not necessarily be jealous of whatever it is that you have or blatantly clearly being competitive in their nature, but it's just whenever they see something they want, they feel like they want it now. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that this specifically, meaning the rewards of paradise, are what individuals should be competing for. These are the actual things that we should be competitive with, because this is something which is permanent and is something which is never going to go away. Whereas, things in the dunya are always going to have their good side and their bad side. Materialistic things, always, it's a double-edged sword. There's benefit, but there's also harm in anything. A person, for example, may buy a brand new car, the latest model, top speed of, 250 or something. Nice, all the latest gear and everything. But the problem is, it's a very fast car. So whatever makes it good can also make it a problem. You might be caught speeding, you might end up having an accident. It might be a very expensive car, and because it's a very expensive car, it's going to attract attention. So subhanAllah, sometimes blessings can also be trials and tribulations for an individual. A person, for example, may be blessed with a strong body, may be blessed with, good looks. But at the same time, this is a blessing from Allah, but it can also be a trial for him. It can also be a means of fitna for him, women and so on and so forth. A person can have wealth, he can have money. This is a blessing from Allah. But depending on how he uses that wealth, depending on if Allah Azza wa Jal tests him through that wealth, it can be a trial, it can be a punishment for him. So subhanAllah, it's amazing how the dunya, blessings we have in the dunya, whatever it may be, children. A person may have a child, that's a blessing, because it could be a means of sadaqa jariyah for him in the future. But it can also be a trial for him if he doesn't be righteous. Or it can be a means for an individual to use him to show others he has a child. Sometimes somebody has a child and he wants to show everyone. This is my daughter, this is my son, look how he's dressed, I want to make him look good. And he knows this and he knows that, and he's going to go to universities and he's going to become a doctor. And how people sometimes compete, families want to compete and they want to see, which child is better and what he's doing, what university they're in, what grades they've got, so on and so forth. So it can be something competitive. It can be something dunyawi, worldly, as opposed to something where you're aiming for the akhirah. So the point being, brothers and sisters, when it comes to things in this dunya, it's always a double-edged sword. Whereas when you're aiming, and that's the problem when you aim for these types of things, but when you're aiming for the akhirah, then it's always good, it's never bad. If you're aiming for Jannah, there's no good side and bad side of Jannah. It's all good. But of course, as we know from the famous hadith, that Jannah, when Allah created Jannah, He created around Jannah all the desires. And so it's something which may be difficult for a person to attain if he doesn't have that sabr, if he doesn't have that knowledge, if he doesn't have that that juhud and that effort, extra effort that he makes in order to attain and achieve the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then says, after talking about competing with one another for these types of rewards, specifically here referring to the wine of paradise, khitamuhu misk, the last of it is musk. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمٍ Allah says that its mixture is that of tasneem. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمٍ Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says, this wine that's being described is mixed with something called tasneem. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمٍ Mizaj means that it's mixed with. Mizaj is like a mixture. Its mixture is with tasneem. And Ibn Kathir, he says, tasneem refers to a drink which is for the people of paradise. So it's a blessed drink in paradise and is for the most excellent and the most exalted drink, which is for the people of Jannah, for the people of paradise. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمٍ عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ A spring from which those near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will drink. A spring, those who are nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will drink from. And in this case, Ibn Mas'ud and others, they said that the companions of the right hand, Ashabul Yameen, as Allah mentions in other ayat, they will be the ones that will be given a drink that will be mixed with tasneem, and that will be mixed with these types of drinks and these types of mixtures from these things and these drinks of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then moves on to the disbelievers again. So he talked about the disbelievers before and about the consequences of what they did and what they used to say in this dunya. قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ They will say, these are tales of old, these are all stories you guys just made up. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how they behaved with the believers. So we know now what's our reward when we enter into Jannah, inshallah, the rewards we're going to get. But now Allah Azza wa Jal is reminding us of what things we have to overcome in order to achieve those rewards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ He says, verily those who committed crimes used to laugh at those who believed. Meaning, if a person wants these rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person wants paradise, it's not going to come easy. There's going to be trials and tribulations you're going to have to go through. The Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to say things to him, call him names. You know, in those days, poetry was their form of propaganda. Imagine a person's name being smeared in the newspapers, on the TV, in the news, as, you know, a liar, as somebody who, you know, conned the people, as somebody who did this and that crime, and it was all untrue. But it's out in the open, and everyone's going to believe whatever they see on television. That's how society is today. The same was the case in those days. They would make poetry up about the Prophet ﷺ, you know, being Majnoon, someone being crazy, someone who was a sorcerer, someone who was a madman, and so on and so forth. And people would believe this. But of course, kalimatullahi hil ulya, the speech of Allah, the word of Allah is the highest speech. Nothing can overcome the speech of Allah. So here Allah is giving examples. Just like they were people who were made fun of when Islam first came, when the Prophet ﷺ first gave da'wah to the people. Likewise, today it's the same thing. You know, people will mock Muslims, and this is something which is clear as day. You know, it's everywhere. It's on television, it's in the newspapers, it's on the internet. SubhanAllah, you know, you go to YouTube videos, Islamic YouTube videos, and people take time out of their day, people who aren't Muslim, they take time out of their day to write comments about Islamic videos, about Muslims. And you think, you got so much time, why would you go to a Christian video? You know, nobody says anything about them. You spent time coming all the way to a YouTube video about Islam to write something. Now that either shows, you know, your deep actual agreement with whatever Islam is saying, you're just pretending as if you don't agree. Or it just shows that you just have this hatred towards Islam, which is from the shaitan, because it's true, in fact. So that's interesting how people, every time, you know, subhanAllah, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I watch a video, Islamic video, I look in the comments, I'm expecting something. You know, you always think this, someone's going to say something. Somebody has to say something. It's just the way it is now. There's always going to be some comment by somebody who's going to say something against Islam. People can't help themselves nowadays. The point being, and this is, subhanAllah, a miracle from Allah. The fact that Allah has mentioned this, He's prophesied. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا Those who used to commit crimes, those who committed sins, they used to laugh at those who believed. I mean, this is the norm. This is how it's going to be. That those who are believers are going to be made fun of. Doesn't mention a specific time, but this is the general understanding, that those who believe will be mocked, they will be made fun of by those who commit crimes, by those who commit sins, by those who are criminals. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ كَانُوا means they used to, in the past. I mean, that was something which is going to be a foregone conclusion, or something which is in the past. But the conclusion which is, you know, isn't foregone, is the fact that they're going to enter into paradise. The believers will enter into paradise. But what they might have to put up with is the disbelievers making fun of them. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ And when they passed by them, when, you know, the Muslims pass by non-Muslims, behind Muslims' backs, they will laugh and joke at one another about the Muslims. Look at how they're dressed, look at what they're doing, look at that guy, he's a Muslim, he's this and that. This is what you see. Sometimes you feel it in the back of you can feel it. People saying things as you walk past, you have that feeling. You know, they're saying things, they're doing things. You know, so this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already mentioned. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ That when they pass by them, they'll exchange glances at one another. They'll look at one, they'll wink at one another. They'll make faces. You know, they'll say, look at that guy. Look at that Muslim over there. So this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already talked about. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ When they return to their people, when they return to their families, when they return to their loved ones, and their own people, they'll return fakihin, joking around. You know, it's like it was a fun time, it was a fun day. We enjoyed it. Why did we enjoy it? Because, you know, we saw some Muslims and we made fun of them and so on and so forth. But this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already prophesied. He's already told us what's going to happen with regards to the Muslims and how the non-Muslims are going to treat how they're going to be treating the Muslims. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ And when they saw them, when they used these all past tense, because now the believers, Allah is basically insinuating, Allah is showing that those who used to be going through these trials, they're now in paradise. But in the past, this is what used to happen. This is what's necessary for a person to be entered into paradise. He needs to have that patience. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ When they saw them, they would say, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ These people are truly lost. These people they've lost the plot. You know, they've gone a different direction. These guys are backwards. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. The things they're saying don't make sense. They're clinging on to something which is centuries old. You know, old stories, asatir al-awwaleen, tales of the past, things which don't, they're not relevant anymore. You guys are holding on to some guy who claims to have some kind of message from God and is something which you need to keep up with the times. We're in a different time period now, different people, different laws. You can't be clinging on to the same thing that you did. Move with the times, be modern, you have to be modernist and so on and so forth. And this is exactly what they say. You guys have lost it. You guys are just dalun. You know, you're misguided, you're lost. Literally, the word dal means somebody who's lost. That's specifically what it means. You know, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Duha, what does He say? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى Allah talks about the Prophet ﷺ. You were lost and we guided you. Meaning you were searching for the truth. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we guided you, you were guided to Islam, you were guided to the truth, we made you a prophet of Allah, we made you a messenger. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ Allah says, those that have been sent to them, they're not guardians over them. Meaning, our duty as Muslims is to call them to Islam. And this proves, this ayah shows this. Because Allah doesn't say that, you know, we're supposed to fight them, we're supposed to attack them, we're supposed to be, you know, show bad etiquette and bad manners to them, or talk back to them, or be aggressive towards them. Allah says that they weren't sent as guardians over them. And you're only a guardian over someone, the general understanding is you're only a guardian over someone. What does a guardian do? He's protective. He's concerned. And this is exactly how the Messenger of Allah was. You know, he was concerned for the people. You know, he wanted people to accept Islam because he knew of the consequences of those who don't accept Islam. So Allah is saying that you weren't sent as a guardian over them. You're not someone who can protect them. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Allah says, you don't guide whomsoever you want to guide. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah guides whomsoever He wants. So you're not watchers over them. You're not guardians over them. Don't worry about what they do. A person just shows good etiquette, shows good manners. Because with good etiquette and with good manners, you don't lose anything. Because, you know, subhanAllah, nowadays people, they provoke. It's what people try to do. They say certain things because it knows it'll rile Muslims, some Muslims. And so they'll say certain things to get a response. Once they get the response that they want, it's all over the news. The times when you're patient, the times when you don't say anything, there's no news to be made. So when a person shows good etiquette and good manners, there's always benefit. In the short term, in the long term, there's always that faida, that benefit for yourself and also for that person. You know, he's going to either ease off or he's not going to be looked upon in a good way. You know, people will recognize that person as an evil individual because of his constant, you know, swearing or bad attitude and bad manners and his mistreatment of Muslims. You know, he won't be someone who's popular because it's something which is not looked up to, generally speaking. You know, these characteristics of cruelty or being vicious or being bad-mannered or being, you know, foul-mouthed or these types of things. I mean, you know, Donald Trump is one of the most unpopular. He hasn't even become president yet. You know, one of the most unpopular presidents ever to live before he's even taken office. Even from non-Muslims, and that's how Allah shows us, you know, how divided, you know, the West is and America is, but it also shows us, you know, subhanAllah, how bad etiquettes and bad manners, people just don't like it across the board. Regardless if you're a Muslim or not a Muslim, people just don't like individuals who aren't truthful, they're not honest, and they just have bad etiquette and bad manners. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ, that we hadn't sent them, they weren't sent as guardians over them. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. Allah says, so today those who believed are laughing at the disbelievers. Meaning on the day of judgment, when the believers enter into paradise, the tables will be turned. The believers will be laughing at the disbelievers because of the fact that their promise came true. The promise of paradise and the promise of Allah's rewards came true. And the promise that was given to the disbelievers of punishment due to their sins has also come true. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Allah also again emphasizes how the believers will be raised up on couches, on thrones, adorned, beautiful thrones. يَنْظُرُونَ. They'll be overlooking paradise, overlooking the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Allah concludes the surah and He says, have the disbelievers not been rewarded this day for what they used to do? Meaning just like the believers were told and promised that they will be given the rewards of Allah, they'll be given paradise, they'll be given the wine, they'll be given the couches and the thrones, and they'll be given the houses and the rivers and everything else, their families and the Hurul Ayn and everything else. Likewise, the disbelievers will also be given what they were promised, which is hellfire and the punishments that go along with it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes with this ayah. And this is the end of this surah. And inshallah, next week, we'll, as we normally do, once we finish a surah, we'll go through the life of one of the famous mufassirun of the past. And inshallah, that'll be next week. And then the week after, we'll continue with, after that short, that little break of a life of one of the famous scholars, we'll go on to the tafsir of another surah in 2 weeks' time. So next week, we'll go through a biography of one of the scholars, inshallah. So we'll conclude here, inshallah. Any questions before we finish? Okay, JazakumAllah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.